Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
Coming to you from DTC Studios in Minneapolis, Minnesota, it is the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, starring Izzy Elkafoss, the Pharaoh of Fantasy. What is up, Izzy?
Hey.
This is also recorded in front of a live studio audience, so welcome to the show, Izzy. Yeah,
and apologies for my microphone. My microphone broke.
Yeah, you don't sound as good. We're going to have to get you one of those Yetis that everybody's talking about.
And my microphone broke, and now I got to record from a headset. It's not the best moment in our podcast history.
Not as good. Not a great moment, but we'll make up for it with some elite-level content. How about that? Catch me outside.
How about that?
I'm your host, John Paul Hurley. So this week is a special edition. We're going to do the DTC mailbag. Izzy tweeted out earlier some questions, whether you want to what things you want to have covered on the podcast tonight. So it's kind of a special quarter of the year. Can you believe that it's a quarter of the season already? The regular season is basically a quarter of the way over.
Crazy. 25% down.
It always happens that way too. It's like we wait forever for the season to start. And then before you know it, you blink your eyes and it's a quarter of the way done. And you're 0-4, you're out of the playoffs. We have a question about that too. So Izzy, let's start with the 0-4 people. What are some pieces you're monitoring in trades to set yourself up for a 2020 championship if you started off slow?
Yeah, I think the pieces that I'd be going after right now, I think, and this is going to make people cringe, but Darius Geis right now is probably my favorite cheap, if you're looking for players, not picks. Picks are becoming harder and harder to come by. I would be targeting Geis. I would have said Corey Davis, but he had a big game, so he's no longer on the table. Those are my Darius Geis for sure, just because the upside is there, and the injury history has really reduced his value. So if you're looking at a risk reward here, the reward is so much higher than the risk. I think depending on Anthony Miller is also a guy that I'm targeting just because he's ridiculously cheap and he has potential. I like those three guys a lot if you can get them on the cheap. I would say those are my top three right now. Chris Herndon's coming back from suspension. He might be a little too expensive now. Preston Williams, I would try to trade for. Those would be the guys that I would probably target. D.D. Westbrook, I like a lot, and he's kind of had a dampened value. Irv Smith, if you're looking for a tight end, that would be probably the number one tight end I'd target is Irv Smith, just because he's cheap. And if you're rebuilding, I think every team, and this isn't, even if you're not a rebuilding team, I think every team out there should be trying to acquire Raquel Armstead. And the reason why Raquel Armstead is a guy that I would be targeting is he is the clear handcuff behind Leonard Fournette. And Leonard Fournette is getting ridiculous volume, and he's had injury history. So there is no way, based on how often Leonard's been hurt, that he's going to survive a 350 to 400 touch season. And as soon as he goes down, Armstead steps into a full workload, and it's going to be oh so sweet. So if you're talking about pure upside and volume relative to price, he's the easiest buy in Dynasty right now. He's a quick flip. You can get him and flip him by the end of the season. And if Fournette ends up playing the entire season, well, what, you're out of maybe a late third-round pick?
Yeah, I like that. That's a good one. And I just pulled up Leonard Fournette. I was talking to some friends on the Super Flexible podcast yesterday. I've had three consecutive days with podcasts, so something's going on here. I have to try to queue one up for tomorrow too. But we were also talking about Leonard Fournette, and I pulled him up on the Sports Injury Predictor, which is one of my favorite cutesy websites to check out. His chance of injury this year is 60% on that website, so I'd say it's pretty high. He missed 8 games last year. He missed 6 games or 5 games the year before. 4.
Yeah.
So he's injury prone, you could say.
Yep.
I got a couple more to add. Can I add some? And then you can add some more at the end. Kind of in the same pocket as your Reichwell Armstead. I'm buying myself some Justice Hill for really cheap. So seeing Mark Ingram kind of blow up a little bit, having some great games. People are forgetting about Justice Hill and the excitement that surrounded him in the offseason. And that's the kind of time I like to strike for one of those guys. So I think I could see Justice Hill, if he can't make some contributions this season. Mark Ingram, believe it or not, we've talked about it before in the podcast, turns 30 in December. So he'd be a great guy for the future. I might float some thirds out there and maybe some late seconds if people might want to nibble on that for Justice Hill. Otherwise, my other one is this was an honorable mention for the DTC mailbag. Bill Latin mentioned, can you talk about the Minnesota Vikings? Well, we're going to talk about them in this buy section. I'm buying the Minnesota Vikings. I've never seen like Diggs, Thielen, Cousin in Superflex leagues. Their value has never been this low before. And I can see with difficult matchups in the first few weeks and maybe them making some midseason adjustments at the offensive coordinator, I could see them bouncing back and kind of redeeming most of their value. So I'm buying a lot of those big weapons for the Minnesota Vikings on top of Irv Smith, like you mentioned. So those are mine.
Yeah, I worry about the Vikings offense. I don't know if they're necessarily going to write the shit. They need to make a change. And it starts with Zimmer. I think Zimmer wants a old school ground and pound and then play defense.
It just ain't working, though. If it was working, that's one thing.
Yeah, the league just isn't. That's just not where the league is headed or where it's at. So I don't think it's going to work. So they're going to have to shift some stuff around. So yeah, another guy, Josh Rosen in Superflex leagues, super cheap. Probably won't be on the Dolphins next year. We'll find a home. There'll be some needy teams. So I like him a lot. I've always loved Josh Rosen. I think he's a good quarterback. Maybe the Bears. The Bears should get him. I've been praying the Bears should just scoop him up. And then a sneaky, really, really cheap one is Jay Sternberger. He's a great pass-catching tight end. The Packers have really struggled to find somebody behind Adams that's going to step up and be a guy for them. So I think as Jimmy Graham is getting older and just on his last leg, Sternberger might not be a bad scoop in tight end premium leagues especially.
Yeah, those are good too. And I like to, just as a strategy in general, if I'm having a difficult time and I want to flip it and play for next year, I like to target some injured players, like some higher caliber ones. You mentioned Geis. That's a good one. I think he's planning on coming back sometime in like early November. So I like that call because even if you don't feel comfortable with Geis, you can flip him right away because as soon as he comes back, his value will have at least some sort of spike. So you can move on from him at that point. There's going to be some windows for him, but maybe like in super flex leagues, you can target some injured quarterbacks. There's a bevy of them. There's Drew Brees. If you want somebody older, if you want to try to like flip him also, there's Foles. I mean, everybody's hurt right now, right? So I think I like that strategy, just targeting some injured players and flipping them when they come back. Mm-hmm. Is that pretty good for our buys? If you're 0-4 buys, what kind of players are you targeting if you're 4-0 and you want to like solidify your roster for a championship run?
The cheap players that are going to have a good playoff run, per se, I think LeSean McCoy is a good, cheap piece that can help you the rest of the season. Not going to cost you a lot, can give you big games, should be consistent the rest of the way. I mean, relatively high floor. We're talking like his floor is probably what? A handful of points and his upside's close to 20-25. And he's not going to cost a lot. So I like that as an option. Other than that, I really don't love targeting players that you're going to have to overpay for. Because if you're really going for a championship, I think Jared Cook might not be a bad target if you're a contender, especially in a tight end premium league. Because when Drew Brees comes back here in a handful of weeks, and you're looking at your second half push, I think he's a tight end that'll emerge and have a really good second half of the year. So I like that as an option. I think you can look at Ito Smith. Devonta Freeman has some injury history. He could be a guy that could, you know, score some points in the second half of the season if Freeman goes down. And like I mentioned about Armstead, regardless if you're a contender or a rebuilder, he's going to be such a good flip piece if Fournette gets hurt.
How about like another one that I've been scouting, and this is, I shouldn't say I've been scouting him, but he's registered on some people's radars and he's still criminally undervalued just because of the system he's in and the guy that he's playing with. But Jordan Howard, he's going to be a little bit more expensive because he had that breakout 3-touchdown game.
No,
but I still
really.
Don't. Maybe, yeah, I was going to say in a dynasty, people probably don't value him beyond like a late second, early third. So he might be a guy that, especially if Miles shows like some rookie tiredness that sometimes rookies do at the end of the season, he could be a guy that could stand out.
Absolutely.
What about Gore?
I mean, he's getting volume. Singletary eventually come back and take some of that volume away. But it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough with Gore. I mean, you pay a fourth round pick and he's some roster depth, but you're not winning a championship if you're plugging Gore into your lineups every week.
Sure.
You know, it makes it a lot tougher. Are you buying N'Keal Harry or no?
Yeah, he'd be one that on the first topic, the 0-4 teams I'd be buying. Yeah, he falls into that injured player kind of domain that we were talking about.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a great one. In fact, like virtually all of the rookie wide receivers, with the exception of like Hollywood Brown and DK Metcalf, you might be able to find some good value for. I think Mecole Hardman's probably difficult to purchase at this point, but I mean, N'Keal Harry, I think would be a good target. And then if you like Hakeem Butler, I know he's kind of got some mixed reviews, but he's another guy that's out for the season. If you got some hope for him next year. I don't share that hope if you've got it, but I mean, he'd be a good target since he's out, but.
Yeah. David Montgomery is an interesting buy for both rebuilders and contenders. He's really struggled. He hasn't gotten, I wouldn't say struggled. He's just not getting a lot of volume in when he does. I mean, he went up against the Vikings this past week and struggled to find some room. He plays the Raiders, goes on by, then plays the Saints, the Chargers, the Eagles, the Lions, the Rams, the Giants, the Lions again, Cowboys, and then he has Packers, Chiefs in the playoffs. And the Packers and Chiefs have been bleeding fantasy points to running backs. So even if you're a contender, he might be a guy down the stretch that really gives you a lot of production.
Yeah, there you go. That's another good one. And then you briefly mentioned Devonta Freeman, Ito Smith inside your little run there. The next mailbag question is centered around running backs who have injury history and only caught passes in week 4. So this is kind of a fun topic. This was tweeted at you by a guy who says, his name is, you might think he loves you for your money, but I, and then it stops. So it's sure. At Ratfoot. I'm not sure how important that is for this mailbag question, but Devonta Freeman, he thinks that he might be a good guy to add to this discussion. So running backs with injury history that only caught passes. So can you weigh in on this one?
Yeah, I mean, with Gurley and Freeman, they are screaming sells for me. And now that Gurley had a 2-touchdown game, this is I feel like this is just the last chance. I don't think Gurley has it anymore. We talked about this on the pod a couple weeks ago. Gurley's value isn't getting any higher than it is now. His ADP this time next year, even at the end of the season, won't be any higher than it is right now. He's a slow bleed, and it's better to just cut bait with him now and get something relatively healthy, especially with the 2-touchdown performance. And same thing with Freeman. You know, Ito's coming back. Freeman just got a lot of volume in the pass game. He's getting a lot of volume on the ground, but I would shift that Freeman into something else. I would try to just get something better, whether it's picks or a player that you can, you know, one of these, like a Geis or something like that, where you can flip Freeman for Geis and just hope Geis is something legit. So yeah. Both those guys are just banging sells right now.
I agree. I mean, the problem with them being sells is that teams kind of know that. Other GMs know that. So you might end up losing relatively considerable value if you try to move away from them, you know, because I don't think anybody's going to be paying a premium for them right now. So,
yeah, but define, I mean, you're not going to get anything better, though. Like, Freeman's value is not going to go higher than it is right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, it's true. Cutting bait. What would you settle for if you had one?
Look at it this way. So I think Freeman this is his last gasp. I doubt he's going to be a player that's going to have an ascension next year at any point in time. So I would be looking, if you're trying to find like a short-term piece that can help you. I don't think Saquon Barkley comes back in the next 6 weeks. So I view Wayne Gallman and Devonta Freeman in the short term very similar in terms of production. Now you're going to miss Gallman for the fantasy playoffs, which is tough. So if you're contending, it might not be ideal, but he might be a better flip candidate than Freeman is. So that's like that's an iffy one. But I think Geis is the ideal flip if you're a contender, because you can probably replace Freeman's production right now and then get Geis for the second half of the season.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. I wouldn't target Damian Williams per se, but I would target LeSean McCoy. I think if you're a Gurley owner or a Freeman owner and you still want to contend but still get production, I don't hate the idea of going after LeSean McCoy and just getting some other equity and having the 1 year piece of McCoy the rest of the way.
Yeah. Well covered. Before we move into the final DTC mailbag question of the day, of the week, I got to let you know really quickly that this episode is sponsored by MyBookie. So please do us a favor. Listen to our buddy Stompy as he talks about MyBookie. We'll be right back.
What's up, guys? This is Stompy from the Dynasty Diagnostic. Today's episode is brought to you by MyBookie. For all your betting needs this season, check out MyBookie. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why MyBookie is always the right play. You bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie is live, in-game betting on every NFL game. They've got the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Use the promo code DTC and they'll double your first deposit up to $1,000. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code DTC when creating your account to double your first deposit. Bet, win, get paid. MyBookie.
All right, welcome back. The final DTC mailbag question of the night. This one was tweeted out by our buddy at Dynasty Theorist. I like to interact with him online. It's Brandon Bangley. Brandon, thank you for tweeting this at us. It's two words, Izzy. This is pretty simple. Underperforming rookies, which covers a lot of guys. So talk to me about what this means to you. Underperforming rookies in general. We talked about David Montgomery being a buy. What are some other underperforming rookies that kind of stand out to you?
All of them. Like, if you really look at it, the only Nate, who do you are the performing rookies?
Well, Josh Jacobs, I think he had some good weeks and then he was banged up and out for a little bit. So I think he holds his place.
Yep.
Outside of that, like Hollywood Brown, same thing, couple big weeks. So he's probably outkicked his coverage, for lack of a better term, as far as what his ADP was in rookie drafts. He's starting to descend again though.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been tough. Pretty quiet. Debo had a good couple weeks. Maybe he's ascending.
Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. Gardner.
Really, really reaching here now.
Yeah. Even Metcalf, he laid an egg. AJ Brown is having a great season.
AJ.
But even Hockenson got quieted, catch a touchdown, and then he killed himself.
Fant's been hit or miss, mostly
decent.
Miss.
He's been kind of under the radar decent. I actually really like Fant. I think he's having a really good career.
Yeah.
Paris Campbell's been iffy. Darwin Thompson's on a milk carton. Hardman's been on and off. I think he had -1 point. He had a negative points up until like the fourth quarter last game. You know, Preston Williams is having a good, relatively good season. Other than that, it's been dead.
I would say that to answer your question, top end first round talent outside of Josh Jacobs are pretty much struggling. That's kind of the answer,
Jacobs,
right?
And AJ Brown.
Oh yeah, AJ was pretty top tier, I guess. Yeah.
I would be going after Miles Sanders as well. I think he's a buy. And to be honest with you, if you're a contender, week 13 Dolphins, week 14 Giants, week 15 Redskins, and obviously week 16 is tough. It's the Cowboys, but 13, 14, 15, Dolphins, Giants, Redskins. That's a phenomenal end to the season. A game script, especially for those three games. I love that. So he might not be a bad guy to target for either rebuilders or contenders. But this is why it's tough to to overvalue some of the rookies going into the season. You got to be patient with these guys. With the running backs, look at like Jacobs, Montgomery, Sanders. They're still getting volume, so they're going to hold a lot of their value. Their retention is there. When N'Keal Harry's value's plummeted, and Paris Campbell's had some value reduction. Guys like Damian Harris aren't even getting on the field, so that's hurting his draft capital.
Yep.
So I mean, you look at as a whole, there's a lot of buying opportunities, because as soon as these guys resurface, their value immediately, you know, hits a peak. So like you were talking about Justice Hill, if he starts getting touches, or if Mark Ingram goes down, he immediately gets late first round value just based on people getting excited again. Daryl Henderson, I don't know if maybe he's gotten one or two touches on the season, right?
Yeah, that's bad.
He's a guy that really skyrocketed. Malcolm Brown took his gig. I don't even think he took his gig. I don't think Malcolm Brown ever gave up the gig. So look at Andy Isabella. He might be a really good buy too. He was once again getting propped up in the late first, early second. You can get him for dirt cheap. Now Christian Kirk is hurt with that ankle injury. That might be a few week injury. So it's Keyshawn Johnson and Andy Isabella stepping up into that role. So those are two good potential buys. But this might be an opportunity for you to, in group chats, talk about how shitty the rookies are and kind of devalue and try to go after some picks.
There you go. Keep saying,
oh, I can't believe I wasted all this equity on rookie picks. Just kind of psychological warfare a little bit, and then drop in some second round, you know, try to trade for some second round picks. I think that's really where the sneaky dynasty owners, a lot of the obvious thing is going after first round picks, but going after the seconds, this draft's going to be pretty deep, and the seconds are ridiculously undervalued relative to first round picks.
I got a quick question for you that's like right on the money here. So I got a trade offer that's sitting in my inbox from, I think, Sunday morning before the games it was offered to me. Not sure exactly when. I'm a rebuilding team, and I was offered Keyshawn Johnson for Paul Richardson. At first, I'm like, I'll just keep Paul in case he has a big game, then I can move him for more. But maybe with what's his nuts out, I can accept that trade.
Yeah, I love what's his nuts. He's having a good season. If what's his nuts is out for an extended period of time, I would be sending trade offers for what's his nuts, because I think he's on the cusp of being a consistent high end wide receiver two, low end wide receiver one, especially in that offense, for as long as Cliff Kingsbury is the coach, which is probably maybe another 6 months.
Nice. So maybe I'll take this trade then, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about Kirk, but Keyshawn's also a buy. I mean, if you can get Keyshawn for Paul Richardson, I would probably do it, because Paul's had injury history and that offense is just an absolute shit show. So I think that's a good trade for you. If you're a Paul Richardson owner, I would just take the equity there.
Sounds good. I like that live example of a trade. I just clicked accept. NFL won't let me do it because the games have already started. So I'll have to wait till tomorrow morning. So maybe I'll set my alarm for what time does the rosters flip for the week four games at midnight?
It should. Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
There we go. I'll accept the trade at midnight. Boom. Just made a trade. Tough acting to enact it. That's pretty good. That's what we had for the mailbag. Like, what else? By the way, I think that last topic is perfect too. So underperforming rookies specifically, I had a friend who's brand new to Dynasty. I think this is his first year, second year. And he asked that exact question. He says, who do you think is undervalued right now that can be plucked in a trade? And my answer was simple. I said, this year's rookie running back. That's all I said to him. So giving him some context, Izzy. So we talked a lot about those running backs. What are some specific values that you're offering? So let's say Miles Sanders specifically. What are some values that you'd be floating out there for Miles? What are you willing to give to buy him?
If I'm like a fringe team, I would be looking to trade like a Chris Carson for a Miles Sanders. See if I can get Miles Sanders for cheap while Chris Carson's having a decent, you know, he's getting a decent workload, and the Seahawks are continually going to be a running team. Penny's hurt. Procise is Procise. I think you can get Carson. You can get Sanders for Carson, especially with Jordan Howard having a big game. People are really quick to bail on players, so I think that's definitely on the table.
Can I just say really quickly too, did you see the Chris Carson stat from this week?
No, was it?
He got charted with 21 missed slash broken tackles. 18 on the run, 3 on the catch. It's the most that this person that tweeted it out has ever recorded in a single game.
Dude, he's an animal. He's an absolute animal.
I mean, he's basically like David Montgomery.
Yeah, he's an animal, but here's the thing with Chris Carson. He has no draft pedigree, and he's injury prone. And people don't like that, but he gets nicked up, and the way he plays, he gets hurt. So, and if you look at Chris Carson, he will never be able to have value ADP or ADP ascension just because of all of the things that the injury history and the lack of ADP and Penny being there and it just being the Seattle Seahawks and all that other stuff. His ADP is going to be capped, whereas Miles Sanders has an uncapped ADP right now.
Yep, that's all. Take advantage of that. Especially in the offseason, if a lot of what people assume come to fruition, like if Jordan Howard actually leaves the team, compensation they gave him wasn't great, and he's got a contract that's conducive to leaving. Once it's Miles Sanders' show, I think they're giving him kind of like a nice on-ramp before they give him the keys to the Jeep. And Jordan Howard, I think he's gone. So he'll have a supporting cast, but man, this is going to be the Miles Sanders show.
Yeah, and it's not even – Miles Sanders doesn't need to be good. So people need to realize, like, you don't have to like Miles Sanders.
Yeah, he'll get
you just have to. You just have to understand that Miles Sanders could eventually be a guy that's getting you – he's getting you about 13 touches a game now. If he gets you 16, 17 touches a game, he's going to put up fantasy points. And people are going to love him. Similar to, like – now, I know Leonard Fournette's getting substantially more than that. But Leonard Fournette's value is purely volume-driven right now, and he had a monster game this week.
Yeah.
His value is sky high. Like, you have to move Leonard Fournette. Like, he's a ticking time bomb. And I love Leonard Fournette's game, but he's a ticking time bomb.
That's hilarious. We got a buddy in our home league together that sent me a text on the side. He's like, how about Leonard Fournette? And I'm like, you have to sell him.
Yeah, you just, I mean, I don't know how to, like, it seems like it's very, sure, it's reactionary, but Leonard Fournette is you're waiting for him to have that
this game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he's been really difficult for being a young guy and being an early first round pick and all that. The market is stale in Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
And the volume is of epic proportions. Like, this is early 2000s, LaDainian Tomlinson, Sean Alexander, Larry Johnson type volume. And obviously he's had the off the field stuff and the coaching problems and the injury problems and the weight gain and all. Like, it is a perfect storm to sell Leonard Fournette right now. And you just have to, even if you're a contender, you have to be able to sell Leonard Fournette and try to get hit like a David Montgomery back in a package to where you can have a little bit more value insulation and David Montgomery can still get you fantasy points down the stretch, you know?
So, like Montgomery in a pick, like Montgomery in an early second, or what are you looking at?
If you can pull that off, yeah, sure, absolutely. Just because you're shifting risk, sure, your upside for the rest of the season is significantly reduced with that trade.
Yep.
But the long game, look at it this way: if you trade Fournette for Montgomery, that's not going to be the reason you don't win your fantasy championship.
Right.
Like, that little gap is not going to be the difference. But long term, it could be the difference.
Yeah, sure.
So that flip to me is nice. And I get it. It's really difficult to move away from Leonard Fournette because when you look at – if you're a Leonard Fournette owner and you're listening to this, try not to look at his schedule because it is the juiciest looking schedule down the stretch that you'll see. I mean –
he might not be playing. He's got to be on the field for it, right?
Yeah, I know. But week 15, your semifinals and your finals is Raiders Falcons, and I mean that's just.
And the Raiders are without Vontaze too.
Oh yeah, with perfect potentially looking at season long suspension.
Yeah, I don't.
And he's got the Panthers. The Panthers are susceptible against the run. You got the Bengals coming up. You have the Jets coming up.
And here's the thing, maybe. Are you looking at selling them immediately after this game, or maybe like you can just kind of – you've got a couple of weeks to sell him because he's got some soft matchups. Or are you wanting to run away afraid of injury right now?
I'm this is a gift. This is a gift from the fantasy gods. And listen, I love Leonard Fournette. I do. But this is a gift from the fantasy gods.
Yeah, okay. It could be
you have to take it. You have to shift risk.
He's CJ Spiller, I guess.
Not that bad. Like Leonard Fournette's actually good. I mean, you just have to shift the risk. Like if you can trade Leonard Fournette in a deal to try to get like a Joe Mixon who's production is terrible right now, but he's going to get volume. And at some point in time down the road, hopefully the Bengals are better. I mean, that's something that you're going to want to look at.
There you go. You
know, even if it's flipping Fournette for a Derrick Henry, where you're still going to get volume with Henry, you're not going to get the same. I mean, obviously Henry gives you that upside that Fournette showed this week, but Fournette still hasn't even scored a touchdown either. So there's definitely some upside to be had for him. But there's definitely other players that you can target that may not give you weekly upside, but are going to give you a more just safe equity. Like the value loss potential here is huge, because if Fournette deals with another injury, you have to worry about the 2020 class. Every running back that's not in the top five, I am absolutely terrified for the 2020 class. They're susceptible to getting company.
Jeez, wow.
Right? I mean, there's just so many running backs coming in that you're bound to deal with a dip in production or a dip in value. So it's just a risk.
There's going to be committees everywhere. Yeah, I agree. I mean, there are a lot of good landing spots open, I think, but you're right. I think when you get four deep, five deep in the running back class, then they're going to be sharing workloads for sure.
Yeah.
So I think the theme of the podcast ended up on the note that sell Leonard Fournette right now as fast as you can, as fast as he can run a 40, which isn't incredibly fast. I guess it's pretty fast. Sell him pretty quickly before he gets hurt. He might be getting hurt right now while you're listening to this. So take advantage of this time, sell him.
What if you went cross position? What if you targeted like a Stephon Diggs?
You know me, I like those Vikings, so I would do that. Sell high, buy low, right there.
There any receivers that you would swap?
I like Boyd. I would say Boyd is in that. That'd be below Diggs in case Diggs is too much.
Okay, so you would. I think Fournette would get you more than just Boyd right now.
Yeah, I'm not saying. Yeah, are we saying one for one? I don't think Fournette can get Diggs. Yeah, Fournette could get Diggs.
What about like a Galladay? You think Fournette can get you a Galladay?
Yeah, those two are probably right in the same neighborhood, right? Because I think they'll probably each see a bump in value after this week, and they're kind of in the same exact type of situation right now.
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah,
and
I've warmed up on Galladay, so I would definitely do that. He just looks really good, so that's a thing. That's a good way to finish things off. A couple of ideas, examples of some people you could target both in position with draft picks and also cross position. So.
Yeah, one of the mailbag questions before we shift was AB and Geis for Sterling Shepard and Damian Williams.
So it's, I mean, AB's worth nothing. So it's Geis or Sterling Shepard and Damian. I mean, I lean Geis. I think I'd rather have Geis over Damian and Sterling personally. How about you?
So I look at this and I see a trade that has no upside versus a trade with a lot of upside. And when I say upside, I mean value upside. AB returning or landing on a team will give him rejuvenated value if that happens. Geis coming back will give him rejuvenated value. With Sterling Shepard, he's never going to get – he's capped. Similar to like what we talked about Chris Carson, nobody's going to get a hard-on for Sterling Shepard.
Yeah.
So like even if he produces with Daniel Jones, he's always going to be – just like, oh, he's a wide receiver three. He's okay. With Damian Williams, like that ship has sailed. I don't think he's ever going to rejuvenate value, and he doesn't have any upside
anymore. Yeah, a lot of downside.
So I look at this and say, with the AB and Geis side, you're giving me ceiling and you're giving me potential over like not even that sexy of a floor. So I'm taking that side all day.
Yep, I agree. That's a good breakdown. I like your breakdown better than mine. So we'll just
we'll go with that.
We'll use yours. But I picked the right side, so that's good. That's all we got. Tune in next week for some more wonderful Dynasty topics. We'll talk to you later. Bye.